hopefully, based on the songs of praises we've been singing, you kind of know what the topic will be for this evening, is worshiping. Before I start, this is what I would like to happen. Everyone in this congregation today, all at one time, I just want you to say, praise the Lord. And I want you to say it, before I tell you how to say it, is we're not going to say, praise the Lord. We're going to say, praise the Lord. One, two, three. Praise the Lord. Doesn't that feel good? The topic today is, and I hope I do a good job because, as usual, you know, David preaches before I do, and he says some things I was going to say, so I have to change it. And by the time I'm walking up here, I changed my pitch anyway, so it doesn't really matter. But if I was to use one phrase to name the sermon today, it would be the scripture that Jackson just read, Psalms 150, verse 6. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. I'm going to repeat it one more time because that's the key thing. That's the main takeaway I would like to happen today. If you could breathe, you should be praising the Lord. No other thing. That's the most important thing we should be doing. The problem is we run into danger of worldly things. People come to church, say, hey, I go to church. I do all these things. You know, I go to Bible study. I'm listening. I'm singing. And they think that's it. Their heart is really not into worshiping the Lord. God gave us the Bible. He gave us stories on how we should live our lives, how we should behave as Christians, how we should love one another, how we should behave. But yet, we don't follow because we continue to sin. And if you're sinning and you claim you're a Christian, you're fooling yourself because you can't fool God. God knows your heart. He knows your soul. But see, God is such a forgiving God that he gives you the opportunity to repent. But yet we do not repent. Because you know why? We keep doing the same thing over and over and over again, thinking that we're going to have enough time. But we don't. Because you don't know when your time, when your name is going to be called, that you will never exist on this earth anymore. And the choices we have to make is that either we're going to live forever with God or we're going to stay dead forever with the devil and Satan. That's what the worldly things provide to you. Nothing more, nothing less. I mean, it's just straightforward. God gave us these scriptures, not for confusion, for basic understanding. You do not need a PhD to understand what God is talking about. If a child can understand the scriptures and take it to heart, why can't we as adults do the same thing? I don't get it. I don't understand it. And I'll be honest with you, for 13 years of my life, I was like that. Then something's changed. You know, Nikki got sick, and everything changed. My life's changed. My spirit has changed. My faith has changed. Now I can't stand foolish babble that doesn't exist. It doesn't matter to me. What I only seek is the truth. What is the part of the truth? It's coming here to worship truly our Lord and Savior. That's what the truth is. In 1 Corinthians 3, it is written, brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but people who live who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you are not ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready because you are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? That's dangerous. When I look at this, you know, to be honest with you, I did not come with this topic myself. It was a lady dear to my heart, not my wife, sorry, honey, but Sister Margaret. We went to visit her one time, and she said, you know what? I would like to hear something about why do we worship? And I had to think about it for a minute. Why do I come and worship? What am I trying to get out of worshiping? Why do we really get up in the morning, get dressed, drive, and come here with like minds? Because of our Lord and Savior. That's the only reason. And as Jimmy said this morning, you know, he was doing the Lord's Supper. He talked about his Georgia Tech game. I watched it last night. You know, a few seconds left. Everybody thought they were going to lose the game. You know, the kicker for Florida State, perfect guy, 20 for 20 in those type of situations. The kick got blocked, and Georgia Tech ran for a touchdown, like 3 or 4 seconds left in the game. That's something they say you see every 100 years. Now, as you saw, Jimmy's face was so excited about when he's talking about it this morning. My question is to you, how come we cannot be that excited by coming here to the Lord and worship the Lord? That's what I would like to know. Because that's the kind of passion we should have to when we come to worship. Our passion for God should not be monotone. It should be stereo. That's the way I look at it. Because if you're monotone, you're just dry. You can't bear fruit when you're dry. But if you're stereo, you're moist, you're going to bear fruit. You're going to grow. And that's the key thing. Understand, coming to learn about the word of Christ. Ephesians 5:15 also talks about, be very careful how you live, but as the unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but to understand what the Lord will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. 1 Peter 2:1 says, therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. So what that tells you, you don't lie, you don't cheat, you don't talk about your brothers and sisters. If you have a problem with your brothers and sisters, you go to them and talk to them. Treat one another with love. How did Christ treat us? Christ died for us. We weren't even born yet, and he died for us. That's the kind of love that we should have for one another. That's the kind of love we should have for the Lord when we come to worship. When we come here to worship, there should be no distractions, no obstacles. We should walk in here knowing happy and says, I'm coming here to praise the Lord. And guess what, folks? That's not the only time you're supposed to be praising the Lord. And we're going to read some scriptures about that too. Every time we take a step outside, at work, sports arena, restaurant, bathroom, wherever you want to call it, you're praising the Lord. You're worshiping God by the way you live. And that's what we have to understand. Once we became a Christian, we gave up our bodies and said, Lord, I am yours. Do what your will. Every single person here has an important part to place, an important part in the kingdom of the Lord's. Every single person, including youth, Ruth, because sometimes the little kids don't think they're involved, but they are. Hebrews 10:26-27. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only fearful expectation of judgment and the raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. My question would be to you, why would you want to be in a flood of fire forever and ever and ever and ever? To me, it doesn't make any sense. I don't get it. But we trick ourselves thinking we have enough time. I'll do everything I want to do, and at the last moment, I'm going to repent and I'm done. Didn't Jesus say that you may call upon my name, but it doesn't mean he has to listen to you? Because how you live your life? Just by being baptized is not the only part of serving the Lord. There are other steps that we have to do in our lives to truly serve the Lord and show that we love him. You know, worshiping here is almost like a precursor of the worship we're going to have in heaven when you make it up there. Scriptures tell you that. I don't know about you, but every time I read something in the Bible that it just hits me in my head, I was like, wow. I read this many, 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 many times, and guess what? It just hit me. David's been preaching for a very long time. I think David's been preaching longer than I've been alive. But there was David and I was driving in the car, and we were talking about, I can't remember which one of Ross's sermon, and David said, hey, you know what? I learned something new. So you can never stop studying the Word, because you can live your whole life, and then one day, bam, it hits you, and the light lights up. And then you just realize, you know, I've been reading this scripture all these years and didn't get it, and I just got it. That's the glory is to come to worship the Lord. The Lord wants you to know what he's predestined for us to know. We all have a part to play in the body. We are part of his church. So you have to have a clear mind when you come to worship, because everything we do is about praising the Lord. Nothing more, nothing less. It's about praising the Lord. That's what should be in our mind as number one. When we get up in the morning, thank you, God. Show me, give me an opportunity to serve you today. We should be a living sacrifice. In Romans 12, starting verse 1, it says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, that this is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by renewing your mind, that you will be able to test and improve that God's will is his good, pleasing, and perfect will. God is perfect. We are not. But we must follow the path he set forth for us. Humble your service in the body of Christ. Starting in verse 3, chapter 12 of Romans. For by the grace given me, I say unto every one of you, do not drink yourself more highly. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith that God had distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us each. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesize in the accordance of your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. I don't know about you, but these passages, I don't hear anything talks about being jealous of one another, being angry, malice, deceitfulness. It talks about being the members of the body. We all have an important role, and I'm going to repeat myself over and over and over again because I have to do it for myself. If I ever met you one time, I have to say your name at least 3 times before I remember your name. And I said sometimes we have to do this with the Lord, with the scriptures that we read. We have to read something over and over and over and over again to really get it. Because sometimes we don't get it the first time. That's why God has put forth the Bible for us to be able to read over and over and over again, because when you first got baptized, you got the milk. But at some point in time, you have to start taking the meat, because that's the only way you're going to grow. Because you keep drinking milk, you're going to stay a babe in Christ. So you know what's going to happen? You're going to be stagnant. Your work is not doing anything for the Lord. We must show have love in our actions. Continue reading in Romans 12, verses 9. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate the people of low position. Do not be conceited. So many times we could be that way. So many times we don't realize we're acting that way. But it is our responsibility to know one another to identify those things. We should be able to go to one another because we have one thing in common. It's our Lord and Savior who we came to worship. This is how we should be living. And I know what I'm preaching here today may not appear to be solely on worshiping, but everything we do is worshiping the Lord. That's what I learned about studying for the sermon. What we do and how we act, we are worshiping the Lord in our daily lives. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Skip it to verse 6. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. Those are the desires of the worldly things. Starting in verse 7. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these. Anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have been taken off your old self with its practices and put on a new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and all over those virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. That's how we're supposed to live. Ask yourself, are you doing that? And if you're not, Ask yourself what you need to do to get it right. First Peter 2, verses 2 and 3 says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by that you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. God is good. God is awesome. And I can tell you, he exists. You know, he's done many, many things for us. You know, he gave up his only son, Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of our sins, for the opportunity to have a citizenship in heaven, to be able to serve him here faithfully so we could be united with our Lord. You know that how glorious will be that day when you are called upon to go home? Do you really have that passion? Because if you are a true member of the Lord's body, you should have that passion. That's what we should be working towards, not what we see here in the world. There is evilness in the world. You can see it every day. You can just turn on the TV, read a newspaper. It doesn't matter. You can listen to the radio. Someone's getting shot, murdered, killed, or whatever. There's fire going on. There's all kind of stuff going on. There are a lot of things out there that is against God. And when you come here to worship, we're supposed to be worshiping with like minds. The one that Christ unites us. One faith, one body. And if you don't feel that way, then we have to do something to fix it. And when I say we, yes, we, because we're all part of that body. We have to help you. We can't help ourselves. The Lord is there to support us. And we as members of the bodies have to support one another. That's why God gives us the word to love one another, to bear each other's burdens. You cannot do this alone. If we were able to do this alone, we wouldn't have the Bible. God would say, okay, you know what, you could do it. You don't need my son. He didn't have to die on the cross. But he knew we couldn't do it alone. So he gives us scriptures and guidance on how while we must live our lives, how we must treat each other, how we must love each other, and how we must love the Lord, and how our attitude should be when we come to worship as one. Because I could tell you right now, if you're writing and you lose your right hand, can you throw the football? No. You need that right hand to throw the ball. Same thing. When you're part of the Lord's church, you're part of that body. And I pray when you come here with the right attitude, with the right demeanor, and the eagerness to learn God's word. I leave you with Psalms 150, verses 6. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And I pray that you praise the Lord in everything that you do. Whatever path that God has set for you, continue to praise him no matter what. If you are a Christian and you're troubled, come forward. We will help you. We will not allow you to fight this by yourself. And if you're not a Christian, I urge you to come forward today. Because you don't know what 5 minutes from now can happen to you. We don't know what can happen to you tomorrow. And I urge you to come forward and take that first step to knowing your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as we stand and sing the song of invitation.